With a country divided, the republic at risk, and morality being redefined, it's time to gather round the campfire, get back to basics, and spark the revival that this country so desperately needs. This is the American Campfire Revival with Kirk Cameron.
Really eager to speak with you tonight about the conclusion to this series we've been talking about on sin, repentance, and forgiveness. The American Campfire Revival is built around the idea that our hope is not flying in on Air Force One. It's not going to come down as a mandate or a guideline from the CDC. It's not going to be an economic fix or a political fix. The condition of disaster and trouble that we're experiencing in our country is a result of us falling away from the most basic, needed, and essential things that make life work, and that is loving God with all of our heart, the Creator, the loving God who made us, and loving our neighbor as ourself. And the men and women who built this country and gave us this precious treasure, this free republic that you and I enjoy, with the freedom to worship God, the freedom to speak freely, the freedom to vote in our political leaders, economic freedom to have a business, to work hard and enjoy the fruit of your labor, and a thousand other freedoms, comes only when we are willing to do the work of being in covenant with God and covenant with one another. That is that relationship built on a sacred promise that I will walk in obedience to God and He will be faithful to me and I will love my neighbor as myself. And it's only when we get back to that that we have hope for this nation that is deteriorating and wilting to actually be brought back to its full flower of freedom and blessing and prosperity. And so tonight we're going to talk about a conclusion to personal relationships, personal with God and personal with one another. And we've been talking about the pain of being wounded and injured and the pathway that leads to life and healing. So I hope you'll pray with me as we ask for heaven's help. Dear God, I thank you that all power in heaven and on earth was given to you. Jesus, you said that. You said, all authority, all power belongs to me. And that means that zero power belongs to the enemy. And Lord, your power, your spirit resides within us as the family of faith, as your children. You promise to be with us, to empower us to do what you've called us to do, and that is to heavenize the earth. It's to share the message of the gospel, the good news of your kindness and mercy and grace, which comes when we repent of sin. We've been talking about that. And we come to you in humble faith. And when we take your word and apply it to all of life, it becomes like heaven in our homes, heaven in my heart, and heaven in our world. God, we ask you to hear our prayers tonight, to forgive our sins, and to heal our land as we turn from our wicked ways and we seek you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. We talked the last three nights about forgiveness being something so precious, but forgiveness makes no sense without sin, because without sin, you don't need to be forgiven of anything. And we talked about the serious nature of sin being a violation of God's law and a rejection of his ways and an act of violence that causes damage to other people. When I sin against you, I hurt you, I injure you. And there are consequences, just like a physical injury doesn't heal overnight. There's a rehabilitation process, the same relationally. And then we talked about repentance, which is the pathway to forgiveness. And that repentance is not just a formula that gets me off the hook and a get-out-of-jail-free card, but it's actually a heartfelt attitude that is willing to turn away from the wrongdoing, from the sin that I've committed, and turn in humble obedience to God, doing what He tells me to do, and being willing to accept the consequences, whatever they are, relational consequences, civil consequences in some circumstances, and being willing to support the rehabilitation process to help repair the damage that I have caused to the one I've sinned against. That leads to the treasure of forgiveness, which brings new life and hope for the future and healing. But the question comes up, what about the person who refuses to repent? I've been reading some of your comments, and some of you have mentioned that, you know, there's someone that I have had such a hard time forgiving, and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to treat them because they won't say they're sorry from their heart, or they'll say they're sorry, but they do it in this fake, phony, cheesy, or religious kind of way that I can tell is just shallow, and it's not the real deal. Okay, let's talk about that person. Well, what do we do about that person who tries to shortcut the process and just get to, well, you're supposed to forgive me? Well, I'm going to tell you what we do with that. We're going to go straight to God's word so that this isn't my opinion. It's the person who says, hey, I'm sorry, you need to forgive me. God says so. What's your problem? See, what's wrong with you? I'm telling you that I'm sorry, and now it's up to you to forgive me. Okay, if you look at what a person who does that just did, is they somehow just shifted the burden from the person who actually did the sinning, they shift the burden onto the person who was sinned against. The person who was injured and damaged by their sin, they've shifted the burden to them, and now it's somehow up to them to make things right. That is not repentance. That's a shortcut. That's a cheap way out. That is not genuine, heartfelt repentance. Here's the thing to remember, and I want you to really focus in on this. A person who is not interested in repentance, owning up to their sin, acknowledging the extent of the damage, willing to turn from it and accept the consequences, and place themselves under accountability, and help the restoration rehabilitation process no matter what it takes, how much it costs, or how long it takes, that person is actually not even interested in forgiveness. If they're not interested in repentance, they're not interested in forgiveness. A person who rejects God's path to forgiveness, which is repentance, the path of repentance, they're actually rejecting God himself and his ways. Because that's the way God calls me, if I've sinned, to respond to my sin in repentance. And if I say, no, I reject that, I'm not interested, well, then I'm not even interested in God and his ways. And that kind of a person is living as though God doesn't matter and his word doesn't matter. And that kind of a person, the Proverbs in the Bible calls a fool. Now, this isn't just some, you know, pejorative. This isn't just somebody flying off in emotional anger. This is the wisdom of the Spirit of God declaring in the Word of God that he who acts and lives as though God doesn't matter or doesn't exist or his word is not for them is a fool. That's the true definition of a fool. I think that April Fool's Day is actually the National Atheist Day. It's National Fool's Day. Someone who consistently rejects God and his ways loves death because God's ways lead to life. And that person is referred to in the scriptures as a fool. And again, lest we think that this is being too harsh or too judgmental, listen, we have to make a determination in important relationships with somebody as to how to deal with them. Does this person really love me? They say they love me, but they keep injuring me, and they won't repent. They won't really come clean and accept responsibility and consequences, but then they confuse me with lots of religion and lots of Bible verses, and they tell me that they love me. I don't know what to think about. So we need to be able to make right determinations. And we have three witnesses that we can count on. One is Jesus said that you'll know a tree by its fruit. And so out of the heart, the mouth speaks. If I look at a person's actions, I can tell what's going on inside of their heart. I can make a heart determination about the heart of that person based on their actions, by the words coming out of their mouth and the things that they do. The quality of the fruit of their actions tells me the integrity of the character of the person. And if they're unwilling to repent, if they're unwilling to do what God says, that is a huge flag on the field.
Hey guys, it's Kirk here. Did you know that another option to traditional insurance even exists out there? I get that it may come as a surprise, since we're so conditioned to think traditional insurance is our only option, but that's simply not true. My family has been using Christian Healthcare Ministries over the last several years, and I cannot recommend them enough to other like-minded believers looking to do things differently than what we've been told to do. CHM is the faith-based alternative to insurance. And most importantly, with CHM, we know that our money is going to help other fellow Christians when they're in need. And this is how we like to steward our dollars when it comes to healthcare. Are you tired of your healthcare the same old way and want to do things the better way? I highly recommend you start by checking out CHM and see if this is an option that could work for your family's healthcare. It does for ours. It's not harder, but it's different in the best way. Learn more today by visiting chministries.org/Kirk Cameron. Again, that's chministries.org/Kirk Cameron.
I also have the word and the advice of qualified counselors, people that you trust and respect who want the best for you and for others and honor the word of God. You can trust those people and their testimony. You can also trust the Bible itself. And God gives us descriptions and definitions and steps and pathways to deal with people who are unrepentant and acting like fools. The Bible gives us clear direction with people like this. Proverbs 14 says, "Stay away from fools. Have nothing to do with them. You'll find no knowledge on their lips," the Bible says. Fools deceive themselves, and they'll deceive you too. So stay away from them. An unrepentant person cannot be trusted. They will continue to manipulate you. They'll continue to deceive you and deceive themselves and cause more damage and more injury. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy in the Bible. This is just a mic-dropping verse in the Bible. He was speaking to Timothy about the things to watch out for as the days grew darker. And he said, "People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control." Does this sound familiar? "Brutal, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." I want to repeat that. Having a form of godliness but not denying its power. People who are unrepentant and abusive and manipulative, they will invoke every Bible verse they can think of to try to get you to act in a certain way and feel guilty so that they can shift the burden upon you, the one that they have hurt with their sin, to take the burden off of themselves. They show a form of godliness. That's called fake religion. That's what the Pharisees were. They shined up the outside of the cup, but the inside was filthy, dirty. And they'll try to flip the script and accuse you of that if you don't give them a quickie forgiveness based on their quickie repentance. They have a form of godliness. They have the appearance of religion, but they deny its power. What's that power? the power to repent, the power to honor God, the power to do what's right when they have injured and damaged another person. Don't maintain relationships with toxic people who can play on your vulnerabilities. People who won't repent know that you're vulnerable, and they will try to manipulate and force you into some kind of action that eases their guilt and continues to subjugate you to their manipulation for their pleasure. I'm not trying to be nasty. This is really not too harsh. God deals much more severely with hurting and manipulating people than I ever could. And he says, have nothing to do with them. Stay away from fools. And this applies to casual relationships and much deeper relationships where deep emotional commitments and promises have been made. Here's the advice from heaven in God's word. Trust the wisdom of God rather than the words of your abuser. They can't be trusted. Trust the wisdom of God rather than the words of the abuser, the unrepentant person who is still out to control you. That's what you do with someone who just won't repent. And again, this is not being nasty. This is about protecting the integrity of your relationship with God. This is about protecting the integrity of your character and your dignity as a person made in the image of God. And you living in a way that is consistent with the way that God forgives. It is conditional upon repentance. God was willing to pay the ultimate price so that he could grant forgiveness and he could accept repentance from people because sin was paid for. He knows the pain of sin. And upon repentance, anyone can receive forgiveness from God, and we're called to forgive as well upon the accomplishment of genuine forgiveness. So take the steps that God has given you. If you're in this prison, this emotional prison, be free from an abuser. Get counsel. And don't let an unrepentant person manipulate you. And all of this is a blessing. You don't have to hate that person. In fact, we shouldn't hate anybody. You don't have to wish that they will burn in hell. You don't have to have anger and bitterness follow you all the days of your life. We need to have a spirit that is willing to forgive, ready to forgive, remembering that God has forgiven us, and we can release this problem. We can release this abusive, toxic person to God to deal with, and he will take up our cause, and he will set us free from bitterness and anger. Because he is our provider, he is our protector, and he promises that all things will work together for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Isn't that great? Isn't that an excellent promise? And if a person will just follow the pathway of repentance, they can find full and complete forgiveness. There may still be consequences, relational consequences. Those don't go away. Those are actually part of the rehabilitation and the learning process that can restore us back into right relationships with God. And so we never want to shortcut those. But you'll be in a right relationship with God, not a wrathful relationship with God. I hope this has been helpful. I think that these last four messages have been so important, and I hope you really get a grip of them. Feel free to read them again. Listen to them again. I've also got a fantastic thing for you on our website called 40 Days Through the Love Dare. If you saw the movie Fireproof, the Love Dare is the book that the father gave to his son to really get his heart right with God so that he could begin to win back the heart of his estranged wife. that he had been abusing. And I went through all 40 of those days on video, and I'd like to go through them with you to help you fireproof your marriage. Check it out at AmericanCampfireRevival.com, along with starting your own campfire with our home training courses. Go ahead and just make yourself at home on the website and make those resources work for you in a way that fits your lifestyle. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you.
Thank you for listening to the American Campfire Revival podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. If you'd like to learn more and join the movement, visit KirkCameron.com.